Baptized believers, grace, mercy, and peace are yours from God, your Father, and your Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Joshua had sent two spies across the Jordan into the Promised Land. They returned saying that the land was ripe for picking. According to the spies, the Canaanites were melting in fear because of the Israelites. So Joshua assembled all of the Israelites on the bank of the Jordan, ready to cross, and the Jordan at that time was at flood stage. It took 3 days to get all of those Israelites organized and ready to cross. Now Joshua, speaking the word of the Lord himself, gave the people 5 specific instructions. 1, he told them, sanctify yourselves for tomorrow. For tomorrow the Lord was going to do a great thing. Here, no doubt, referring to ceremonial washings, Levitical washings prescribed under the law. 2, he told them, he said, let the priests who are going to carry the Ark of the Covenant lead. Let them go first up front. 3, he said, all of you are going to follow behind the Ark of the Covenant, but you are going to keep 2,000 cubits back, about 1,000 yards back, obviously for visibility so everyone could see, and also for reverence. Finally, he told them, he said, watch for when the feet of the priests will actually touch the water, because at that time, the waters will part and heap up, as the text says, leaving a dry passageway. Then you can cross. And then one final note that Joshua added, he said, by all of this, you will know that the living God is among you. And in fact, you will erect a 12-stone monument, the Gilgal Monument, to this event. Now, all of this happened exactly as Joshua indicated, as the Lord commanded. Except there's one detail which our text brings forth that we rarely focus on. Instead of the Ark of the Covenant being carried all the way across and through the Jordan and up to the other side, the text says that the priest carrying the ark carried it down into the midst, into the middle of the Jordan, and stopped there, right in the middle of the parted waters. Of course, so that all of the Israelites would then have to pass right by the Ark of the Covenant. Well, what was this Ark of the Covenant that all of God's people were going to have to cross by? It was the very place where God came and dwelt for the forgiveness of their sins. It looked like a chest. It was about 45 inches long, about 27 by 27 on the end, covered in gold with a cover or mercy seat of gold with a molding on it, the text says, and with the two cherubim with the golden, hammered golden angels watching over and spreading their wings down on this mercy seat. And it was carried by 2 gold poles thrust through gold rings. So what a sight this must have been in the middle of the Jordan River with the waters piled up on either side with all of God's people going by. The Ark of the Covenant, remember, is where God spoke to Moses directly, where he spoke to Aaron directly. It's where the high priest would go in and sprinkle blood on the Day of Atonement for the forgiveness of sins. It is the object in which the reminders of God's love were kept, the golden jar of manna, salvation in the wilderness, Aaron's budded staff, salvation through the office of the priesthood, and the 10 commandment tablets, salvation through Christ's perfect keeping of the law. In fact, the Ark of the Covenant was so holy that the people's eyes were not supposed to see it, And Scripture records three different coverings that were used as it was transported. And now to think, the Israelites were going to pass right by this Ark of the Covenant. No keeping 2,000 cubits away at that point. No, they were coming right into the very presence of the Lord who dwelt on that mercy seat for their salvation. This ark right in the middle of this water was a saving ark. It was God's ark, like the ark which saved Noah and his family, and like the ark basket which saved the baby Moses. This ark now again saves the Israelites. Just like in the case of those earlier arks, the Ark of the Covenant saves from a watery death, from drowning. But more than that, because it is the gracious presence of Christ himself, it saves from eternal death. Now, as for you in this day, you too pass through your own troubled Jordan waters. You are on your way to fight the battles of the world just like the Israelites were. You, just like the Israelites of old, though, have also come close to the Ark of the Covenant, to the presence of Christ himself. For you were baptized into waters which no longer kill, but rather make alive. And you have heard the voice of Aaron itself, the voice of your pastor, with words of forgiveness and life. You have come close to the ark. And when you partake of the body and the blood of Christ himself, you come near that ark. You see Christ present in all these ways, stills the raging waters around you, and gives you safe passage to the promised land. You see, the real miracle is not so much, as our Reformed brethren would say, the parting of the waters and the magnificent power of God, but is rather God's continuing, forgiving, loving presence in Jesus Christ. That's what that ark in the middle of the waters went. Jesus is your saving ark. He died and rose for you. Just as he was present in the middle of the Jordan to protect and love, he is present for you in word and sacrament to protect and love. This dwelling together in him through his appointed means is the promised land for us. He has provided all of this for the Israelites and for you. The Israelites approached the Ark of the Covenant in the midst of roaring waters with many battles facing them. The Ark provided them with forgiveness of sins and safe passage. Baptism, holy absolution, and the sacrament of the altar provide us with the same today, also in the face of many personal battles. The same Christ present in the Ark will sustain you, as indeed he sustained the Israelites. Thanks be to God, in Jesus' name. Amen.